It is very, very wonderful to be here with you tonight. It has been a wonderful day of worship, and I'm so thankful to have been able to worship you with you this morning. As you all know, I think most of you know that Rebecca and I are facing some big changes coming up. And I really do appreciate all of your prayers. I appreciate all that you've done as a congregation for us. And please keep them coming. I need prayers. Rebecca needs prayers. We need prayers as a congregation to continue to grow and to grow in our love for God. And I hope that we can just continue to do that together. I don't want to say too much about it because I'm just holding my breath until I moved in. And hopefully the elders don't realize that they've made a mistake. And everything can just keep going because it really is a dream of mine to be here with you. And I hope you realize that. So with all that being said, I want to start in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and I am going to start in verse 1. I'm glad that Tim began his prayer the way that he did, thanking God for the creator he is, because that's going to be a lot of what I'm going to talk about tonight. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible starts off with, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The first words of the Bible, from the very beginning that we get to see, declares one of the most prominent aspects of Jehovah. He is a creator. He is the creator. As we continue reading in verse 2, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." When I was younger and I'd read this passage, I thought it was kind of cool. It's interesting to have kind of a glimpse at what existence was before God created. But in preparation for this lesson, when I was reading about this, it's kind of a bleak picture to me. It's kind of scary and makes me feel kind of sad to see existence this way. Just darkness. Just formless void. But the thing that we see at the beginning, and the thing that we always see when confronted with darkness, is that the Lord is still there. Even when creation was formless and just a void and there was darkness, we still see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, a flag of hope hovering over the waters, that we get to see that darkness is not always going to be. And this is kind of just a side point to what I'm actually going to get to. But God is always there. It doesn't matter what darkness. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life. We know that God is always going to be there because He always has been. Even from the beginning, even before the beginning, God was always there and will always be there. We see that our God in the creation story will not allow darkness to rule. He will not allow darkness to overcome. Even the most creative person at this point can only just stand in awe at what our Creator does. Because without any kind of any previous plan, without any kind of basis for Him to base His work off of, only with His own inspiration, God speaks everything into existence at this point. God says, "Let there be light." He says, "Let there be, let there be, let there be." And there is. Just on His own inspiration, God is an awesome creator. The creator. All the works of God's hands. Shout that. They proclaim Him as the creator. And not just creation as in the created world that we see. Not just creation as ourselves. But also the works of God's mighty hands in the form of signs, of wonders, of the things that He has done throughout time. One of the biggest examples I like to look at when thinking about this is the Exodus. The way that God carved for Himself a people for Himself out of the land of Egypt was perfection. The Israelites couldn't have asked for anything better. God proclaimed His name through the things that He did to the Israelites, to the Egyptians, to the Canaanites. The work of His hands in this situation was masterful. It was a work of art. I love how Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 32. "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard of. Did any people ever hear the voice of a God and speaking out of the midst of fire as you have heard and still live? Or has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for Himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes?" Moses is talking to the Israelite people, and he says, go ahead and ask. Look from one end of heaven to the other. Ask anyone. Ask everything. Has anything like this ever happened before? Has anything like this ever been heard of before? That God has created a people for Himself with these wonders and signs. Our God is unique. Obviously, the answer to that was no. That has never been seen before. That has never been done before, because Jehovah is unique as the creator and as the maker of works of art. With all of this in mind, I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is going to be our key text for tonight, and I'm going to start reading in verse 8. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The reason that I've painted this picture for you tonight, this proclaiming God as a creator, as the creator of works of art, is because I love this idea that's given to us by this passage, that the idea of those that have been saved by grace, by the grace of Jehovah through our faith, are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. You are His workmanship. That's amazing to think about. God, who has created so much, this word workmanship, from what I can tell, it has the connotation in this section of text as a creative work. I've seen it translated as a work of art, and that's just amazing to think about as us. As God's creative work, He who is way more creative, way more wonderful in all the works that He's made, us being His creative work. You are His workmanship. But, so we don't get boastful, I'd like you to think about something for a moment. When you look at the works that someone has made, whether it be art, whether it may just be a work that somebody has made out of effort, when you look at something that someone has made, when you appreciate that, when you look at it, if you give praise to that thing, are you giving praise to whatever it is because of itself, or do you give praise to it because of the works of who made it, because of the skill of who made it? Sometimes it can go both ways, but I think I lean more towards, I guess when I think about it, Brother Jarrett, and I hate to call you out, but Brother Jarrett makes beautiful, beautiful drawings. They're wonderful to behold. And when I look at it, I'll say, yeah, that's a beautiful drawing. That looks so great. But in reality, I am marveling at his skill. And I would do the same for George. And all of you are very creative people, I know. I'd marvel at all of your things. But I would marvel at the skill that it took to do those things more than I would the actual work. And it's the same thing with us. You are his workmanship. You are his creative work. We are. The thing is that it really doesn't have anything to do with us, though. It has everything to do with who made us. It has everything to do with the Creator who made us. And all praise and glory and honor go to him. Or at least should. Through us, and we should be able to, through the way that we act, cause others to give praise and glory to him. And one of the things that makes this creative work of God so amazing is the medium through which he made us. I love this. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship through Christ. He made us through Christ. Let's back up a little and read from the beginning of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Because of our trespasses, because of our sins, we were dead. Now that's something to think about. We were dead. I was dead. I wore my sin with pride. And I was dead, and the only inheritance I was waiting for was the inheritance that a child of wrath gets, not a child of God. And this is another bleak picture. When I look back at who I was before I became a Christian, I do see darkness. And I see void without form. But just like in the beginning, God does not allow that darkness to overcome. God will not allow darkness to rule. God speaks and light is brought into the world. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. Was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Jesus is our medium, he is our light, and he removed the darkness. So continuing in Ephesians chapter 2, if you're still there, we're faced with this picture of we are dead in our trespasses. We are only awaiting the punishment that comes from children of wrath. What are we supposed to do? But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. The Lord has always been the greatest creator. He has always been. He has always made works of arts. He has always been the author of great miracles. But these were all just steps leading to His greatest masterpiece, and that was the Christ. Jesus, the fulfillment of time. Everything was waiting for Christ. And He came. And He reconciled people with God. And He made us His workmanship. Praise God for that. We can ask the same thing that Moses asked in Deuteronomy chapter 4. For ask now the days that are past, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other whether such a great thing has ever happened or has ever been heard of. But I'd like us to also notice what Paul says at the end of our reading in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our Creator is amazing. The way in which He has made us, the medium, Christ Jesus, is amazing. But what's even equally amazing is the fact that God didn't just stop there. He also gave us purpose. And it's a blessing to have purpose. It's a huge blessing to have purpose. I think I would say that all of us, and I'm extremely confident that all of us have seen abandoned buildings before. What did they look like when they were first built? Probably don't look a whole lot like they look now. When they were first built, they were new. They were beautiful. They were strong. They looked and felt like life because life was going on there. There was work being done. There was lives being lived. But now that they're abandoned, now that they've lost purpose, a lot of times they don't really look that nice anymore. They certainly don't look new. Some are just shadows of what they once were. Some have just lost structural integrity entirely and are just waiting for the next tickle of wind to blow them over. And I wonder if we didn't have purpose, if that's what we'd be like. We're not... The beautiful thing is that we're not just created art to look at, to gawk at. We are tools. We are tools for God to use to do His good works. And I feel like I need to insert in here, and I probably don't need to insert in here, but I will, that our works don't save us. And I'm not in any imagination of that. I know that no amount of good works that I do in this life could ever save me. That is why it says that we are saved by grace. And by grace through faith we are saved and not by our own works. Because that's what grace is. It's undeserved. I don't deserve it. I really don't deserve salvation. I really, really don't deserve salvation. In fact, I'll hammer it down one more time. I really, really don't deserve salvation. But through God's grace, He has offered me that chance. It's amazing. That's so amazing. And when you think about it, the works themselves, the good works themselves, are not something that can save. They are not something that can save. But God, as the creator of us, is He allowed to have a purpose for us? Of course He is. And what I gather from this verse is that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's one of our purposes. I think we have many of them. But this seems like a pretty good one to have. And by the way, the interesting thing is that this text also says that God has already prepared them for you. Isn't that something to think about? They're just waiting there for you to do them. I was thinking about comparing it to coming into work and sitting down at your desk, and you have a whole stack of work just waiting for you, you know, a whole bunch of work orders or whatever, but that did not encourage me. It didn't even encourage me to think about that. So think about it this way. The works of God are like a tree. Like a tree. And there is just ripe fruit just weighing down the branches of this tree. There is just so much delicious, ripe fruit waiting for you. And the wonderful thing is it's not just any kind of fruit. It's fruit that's made specifically for you. It is the most delicious fruit that you can imagine. It's just waiting for you to pick it. And it never runs out. You can pick as much of it as you want. And it tastes sweet, and it's fulfilling, and it's encouraging, because that's what the good works of God are. They are encouraging not just to those who are recipients of it, not just to those who view it from the outside. They are so encouraging and fulfilling for those that do them, because it's what we were made for. And you might ask, okay, all right, you've hammered this point home. There's good works that are made for me. What am I supposed to do? How do I know what they are? How am I supposed to find this out? What good works am I made for? And I guess at that point, I would initially say, I think the sky is probably the limit. I think it's one of those things like the fruits of the Spirit. Against such things, there are no law. I mean, just enjoy the good works of God. You have been saved. You have been made through Christ. You have salvation and eternal life. Do whatever that makes you feel like doing. Good things, the good works of God. But if you want a little bit better answer, I guess I would also turn you to Romans chapter 12. This is also something that I thought about. Romans chapter 12, and I'm just going to start in the first verse. Here we read, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I really think that if we live every day in this manner as a sacrifice to God, devoting ourselves to God, devoting ourselves to others, because they are also objects of the immeasurable love of God, and we want them to accept that. Devoting ourselves to God, to others, to be transformed, to give up the worldly desires of this life and this flesh, and to focus ourselves on spiritual things, and to pray without ceasing, and to give our all to God. He will make, I really don't doubt that He'll make us know what His will is, and then we'll do it, and we'll find joy in doing it. We are made by just an amazing Creator. And He has amazing works for us. We've come to the point in the evening where we offer an invitation. And if you are part of Christ's body, I offer you an invitation. I invite you to transform yourself, to offer yourself as a sacrifice to God, to fulfill your purpose, to do His good works that He has for you, to fulfill your purpose as part of the workmanship of Jehovah. And if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, I guess just think about the amazing fact that everything that God has done from the beginning of time, the creation to the Exodus, the fulfillment in Jesus was all to reconcile people to Him. All to bring everybody to Him. To make you a member of His workmanship. So if you need to, we offer you to come up tonight to be baptized. you will be forgiven of your sins, and you will become part of that workmanship. Why don't we stand as we sing?